All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing the local podcast. Good morning. It is August 24th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it is awesome wherever you are at. Got up this morning. Had a cancellation this morning, which was okay. You know, I've been working to try to get my finances back under control. And when I say back under control, where I'm just not freaking out, right? I'm not doing anything stupid, right? Not, you know, not gambling, not doing anything dumb. Just, you know what it is, I just sort of sat on my hands a bit, right? And just got comfortable. And every once in a while, we'll get those moments where, you know, something comes down and we're like, holy crap. And so that happened a few weeks. I've been working on that. These are all, you know, gifts, right? These are all gifts of sobriety, I think. And, you know, so I've been working on it and just trying to get my finances and my life a little bit back in order like I used to have it. And it's been good. Everything is feeling much, much better. Working hard, right? Don't tell anybody, but really the problem was I wasn't working enough. Don't say anything. Definitely don't tell my in-laws, right? you know, I'm working more, back to work, right? Working a little more. And it's been great. I do enjoy my job. I was saying to somebody else, you know, I put so much, you know, I fantasize about my days off, right? These wonderful days off. My best days are at work. Right? My best days are working through it, figuring it out, getting up, doing what I have to do, finishing and coming home and having a good day of work. That's my best days, right? Some of my worst days are my days off, but I'm not going to get into all that. I've talked about that before, you know, but I did get up. I had a cancellation this morning. So, I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, maybe a couple weeks ago I'd been like, damn it. Oh my God. Right. But listen, shit happens. Clean up the foundation. And when, you know, things like cancellations come along, they're not as much of an event as they were before. So anyway, my client had to cancel this morning, had to do some stuff. And so I was like, I want to go ride my e-bike. Last year I rode my e-bike so much, last summer, getting up, riding, cruising around, riding down to the beach. It was awesome. This year, a lot of stuff's changed. A lot more people somehow moved here over 1 year. And the roads are so sketchy that I just haven't really felt comfortable. And so I haven't been riding, and I've also been sort of busy. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to go for an e-bike ride. So I got up this morning and I jumped on my bike, and man, it was awesome. It is a little, you can start to feel it. It's a little overcast this morning. I wasn't sure really what to wear, right? I did wear sweats because I was like, I don't know. And I'm glad I did, because actually on the bike, it was a little cool. But man, it felt good to get out on my bike and ride around. But I will tell you, man, the traffic around this place is crazy. I got up early, and it's still crazy. So, I don't know. It's not as to get to where I have to get to go, you know, for an enjoyable ride, it's a little more sketchy than it used to be. And I don't know. It's like one of those things you just feel like you just escaped death, right? And so, but regardless, I am, I'm feeling good. You know, I got up, I came home, or I went for the ride, you know, came home, took a shower, came to work. I got a few things to do this morning. I'm actually really busy, but I just got a later start at it, right? I did go to the meeting last night. It was awesome. My grand sponsor spoke, right? I've never had a grand sponsor, which is interesting, but my sponsor spoke last night, and it was awesome. He's, you know, they're all awesome. So great message. But really, it turned out the message was about sponsorship. And, you know, I had to share last night. You know, I went about 8 years without a sponsor because my sponsor passed away, right? He passed away in a motorcycle accident. And, you know, it was tough. I'm not going to make this a whole thing. But this is the week, you know, that that his anniversary, right? And so it starts to come up a little bit more this time of year. But, you know, I just remember early on finding sponsors and just how important they were. And then when I finally found the right one, right, just what a life-changing event it was for me and how much it helped me. I'll say it any time of the day. That guy saved my life. And so when he passed, you know, I was sponsoring myself. And I do not recommend that. You know, a lot of weird stuff was going on in that time. And then, you know, ended up having the pandemic. But, you know, I just played a little bit of a victim during that time. You know, poor me, right? My sponsor's gone. And, you know, I really had to work through that. And finally, right, finally. And, you know, I said this last night. You know, there's always that voice, right? There was always that voice telling me, you'll never find the right sponsor. You'll never find someone that's going to be as good as he was, someone that can replace him. How offensive, right? I don't want to, you know, how disrespectful, right? In my mind, I made it seem disrespectful to replace him. And that's just not true. If I replace him, will I forget him, right? These are weird, real thoughts that were going through my mind. And but, you know, 8 years later, I finally had to find a sponsor. And just to ignore that voice that kept telling me, don't get one, right? Just to fight that voice. And, you know, I finally did. My sponsor I have now is terrific. It's tough, you know, when you have, when you've been doing this as long as I have, it's hard. You know, I don't know really what to ask my sponsor, right? I don't know what to do. I know it was important that I have one. I just don't really know what to do with them. You know, the role of sponsor, you know, when I came into the program, you know, I had heard about sponsorship and it was very scary. It's hard for me to put my feet back into the feet of Tom back in those days because it's like night and day, the guy that I was back then. But the guy that I was back then was so separated from normal humans, right? My normal life was so dark and down, right? I had nothing. I was a daily drinker, worked a job I hated, hung out with people just like me, had a bad diet, right? Had a bad, you know, bad attitude. Everything was toxic. All relationships that I had were with people was me trying to get something, right? And it was just... It was like a guy that had grown up not understanding how to live a normal life. You know, I was sharing the other day about, trying to refrain from, you know, commenting, getting into it on the internet with other people. You know, I had the guy that kind of criticized me and, because I went back and listened to that and I'm like, you know, is that, what's it about? And the reality is that it's sometimes in my mind, it feels like, you know, I'm doing something special. But the reality is that is just normal behavior, right? Everybody, most people are like that, right? I don't want to act like that's some sort of special behavior for me above other people. It isn't, right? That is me somehow scraping up to get to just this average guy doing average things, right? Me refraining from commenting. Unfortunately, me refraining from commenting now looks like you're doing something really special. But, you know, 10, 20 years ago, that's what we did, right? We didn't have to comment on everything. So, you know, restraining from making comments like that is just normal behavior. I didn't want to seem like I'm something special, right? I am not. I am below special, below average, right at the line, and just doing average things, right? And so, but the point was is that I was just such a mess, right? I was just such a mess. And, you know, when I came in, I was lucky. You know, Ron M. came up to me and he said, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor. And I was like, he must have seen how fucked up I was. Right? He must have seen how fucked up I was. And he said, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor. And I was like, whew, mark that off the list, right? I don't even think at the time I was even thinking about asking for a sponsor. I just was told, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor. And I was like, okay. And it almost should be like that. You know, if you're new, the funny thing is we're all different, right? Not everybody comes in like I did. I didn't come in like everybody else did. We all have our own little journey. Mine just happened to show up at a meeting, and Ron M. came up and said, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor. And what that meant was he's just going to hang out. He wants me to basically shadow him, right? We're going to go to this meeting. We're going to go to this meeting. Meet me at this time. You know, you hear the tales of the meeting before the meeting. You know, when I came into the program in 97, that wasn't that long ago. You know, I think I came in, 97, so 30 years, a little less than 30 years ago. There was not that many meetings, right? There are so many meetings now. We have meeting apps. Meetings are everywhere. But back in those days, and it wasn't that long ago, right? There wasn't that many meetings. So we would actually meet, and you hear about it, the meeting before the meeting, right? We would meet. It'd be a group of guys in a car heading up to some place to go to a meeting, all chatting, right? I had never done that. Right? That maybe when I was in high school, but usually there was drugs and alcohol that were involved in all that chitter-chatter in the back of the car. This was the first time I'd really ridden in a car with a group of men who were sober, all trying to do the same thing, stay sober and improve our lives, right? And so it was just a car full of examples, right? Better examples. And what the fuck? And it just, you know, it was, I was like in, you know, they talk about the pink cloud. I was on a pink cloud. Everything felt good. You know, take the alcohol out of my life, immediately I feel better. Take the drugs out of my life, I immediately, you know, no drugs, no, you know, passing out, no waking up with shame, no spending the day with full of regret. You can eliminate those things pretty much right away if you choose, or when I chose to put down the drugs and alcohol. The shame, the guilt, you know, the disappointment. You know, I heard a guy say, and I think I've said this, you know, there's nothing worse than making a contract with yourself that you cannot fucking keep. Right? I could not keep a contract. Here's the contract, Tom. We're not going to drink tonight. The next day, waking up or coming to, right? Couldn't do it, right? That is, you've lost. I started to lose all hope, right? I lost all hope. The magic in my life was gone. And so to be, you know, with this temporary sponsor and being said, you know, we're going to do this. And I'm like, you got it, right? You got it. I'm in. And just learning how to be around men and these examples and to try to learn how to change my life, you know. I fixed the drinking problem, right? Because I stopped drinking the day I came in. This was all about learning how to live. And so Ron M. was huge, right? And I don't know if I would have stayed, right? I can't remember. I never had a situation where I got into such a jam that ended up in the hospital and then into a program. I had never come in that way, right? I had always come into the program. I got caught again. I got myself, painted into a corner. The only option was, I'll go to a meeting then, all right? And everybody go, oh, thank God, right? That was my path to getting into recovery. I got caught at it, got caught too much. And so I can remember pulling up to the meeting, you know, maybe walking in a couple minutes late, leaving early, no conversations, no shaking hands, right? I see these guys come in all the time, and I'm grateful that they come in, right? Maybe one of these times it'll stick, but you know, they come in a couple minutes late. I wouldn't even know their name if I hadn't gone up and asked. And I always try to see, if a newcomer comes in, you know, you have different versions. You've got the beat down newcomer, right? You got the person that's just fucking beat down, done. And then you got the people that have been caught, you know, usually a DUI or some sort of thing like that, and they're not done, right? They're just complying. And so you just see different kinds of people. And I like to always I always try to go up and say, you know, hey, my name's Tom, and I'm grateful you're here. Keep coming back, even though I know they probably won't. But I always try to do that because I know that when I was that guy, I wasn't having those conversations. And when a person came up to me and said, hey, man, welcome. We appreciate you being here. Keep coming back. Hang in there. It gets better. I was like, man, that... Just the fact that they talked to me made me feel better, made me feel like I was a little bit part of, right? As a person, as a newcomer coming in, it's hard for me to understand how important it is that I get involved in the program, right? The only people that understand that are the people in the program. The people that are sober know how important it is for you or for me or a person like me to get involved as quickly as I can. Right? Before the fucking devil comes back. Because usually the devil's like, I'm going to go hit up Myrtle Beach, right? I'll be back next week. It's like a week, right? I think that's about how much time I had. I had about a week free of the devil, and how much, you know, humility I could start to learn and build up in that week would help, because the devil comes back, right? And that's how it was, you know. When this time happened and I got Ron M, and Ron M started to help me get involved, and, you know, we're going to do a 90 and 90, he grabbed onto me and he didn't let me drift out. And at the time, I mean, really, I was ready. I had enough. I didn't, like I'd said before, March 30th, 1997, I had no desire. I mean, I may have liked to talk about it, right? But I was making no effort. I had no plans to try to get sober. And when that window opened up a little bit that night, with the right hand of God, whoever smacked me, I jumped through it. I jumped through that little hole. And that's when the program surrounded me. You know, it's important that we do that. It's important that, you know. The other thing is that when I came to the program, I had no desire to go shake anybody's hand, right? I didn't want to, because immediately, it's such a weird space to be, right? Because I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to go shake that guy's hand. He'll think I'm an idiot, right? I'm always so negative on me. I'm not going to bother. You guys don't like me. These people don't like me, right? I'm always, it's terrible. And, you know, it's just these bad habits, right? And so when I started to hang out with Ron and watch him shake hands, and I could start to, it would give me that in, right? And people coming up to me, that's why I like to go shake people's hands, because I know in their mind, they're not like, yeah, let me go around and shake everybody's hand and introduce myself. Especially the ones that are just complying, right? They're there for one reason, right? Get their paper signed, which is fine, right? I've been there. I got the DUI. I had to get the paper signed. I remember going to the class. I told the lady I did not refrain from drinking. She did not give me my license. That's how fucked up I was. I've been in all levels of this process, right? I mean, I've been the guy bringing in the letter, you know, coming in late, getting it signed. You know, I wasn't ready. I was not ready. And then when we finally get ready, we get ready, right? And it's just, the miracles begin. But, you know, Ron M was the beginning. And then I remember trying to get that, you know, I think Ron was like, you need to get a sponsor. You know, I'm only a temporary sponsor. He didn't let me stay in this sort of lax position. He's like, you need to start doing work. You need to get a sponsor. And I was like, okay. And I remember eyeing up this guy. And I like what he had, Mike R. I like what he had to say. Knowledgeable, right? He could remember certain things. I think he memorized certain parts of maybe the preamble or something, right? I was like, this guy. And me, this voice, the voice in my head's like, don't ask him. He won't. He's not going to say yes. He's going to say no. He's probably got 50 sponsees, right? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Mike, hey, how are you? I'm thinking about trying to get a sponsor. I'd love to. Right. Well, what happened to all the shit I was thinking, right? Didn't come true. The fact is the guy was like, absolutely, I'd love to. Let's sit down. Let's read the first step and we'll do some work. And that was, you know, that was the beginning. Sponsorship is key. Sponsorship and then service. And I think they're both sort of fall under the same thing. I think even though we're getting a sponsor, we're still doing service, right? We're still being an example to the newcomer. Look, I'm new. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And I still know that I need a sponsor. So even, you know, I learned early on, show up on the premises and you're doing service. Right? There's always somebody that has less time, right? There's always somebody doing worse. You can always, just by being an example, be better. Right? So there's always service. But I finally started doing some step work, right? And I would go through a few sponsors, right? And that's just shows the sickness that I have, these devil voices, these angels, right, that talk me out of shit. I was unaware of that at the time, very aware of it today, right? Anything I don't want to do, I take a second look at. What's the matter? Where is this coming from? What's my fear, right? It's almost like doing a fourth step. Every situation that comes up that I don't want to do, I have to take a hard look at it and try to figure out what's behind it, right? What's this separating me from? What am I not going to get involved in? What is this disease keeping me from, right? And what it's keeping me from is sobriety. And what it's really keeping me from is serenity. My disease does not want me sober or serene. It likes me sick. And, moving forward, you know, I had a couple sponsors, and then finally, you know, I went back out and drank. And when I came back, my life had changed, and my attitude had changed, and my perspective had changed, and all of that. And that's when I asked my buddy Matt. I'm like, hey, man, I need a sponsor. And that's, you know, I've shared this story so many times that, give me a call every day, and we'll see where it goes. And he was my sponsor for 7 or 8 years. And and then obviously he passed. And there we were, right? And so finally I got a new sponsor. And so the topic last night was sponsorship. And I think it is, if you're new or thinking about getting sober or you'd like to get sober, get a sponsor, right? Don't be afraid. Just ask a guy, say, hey, man, or even just call it a temporary sponsor. I think that makes it easier. Like, hey, man, you don't have to commit to me forever, but maybe you can be my temporary sponsor, right? And just start to get involved, right? But it really depends on what we want, right? It really depends on how bad we want to be sober. It really depends on if we want to be sober at all or if we just are complying. Complying's good. Listen, I had to comply a bunch just to start to, you know, get a little of the program on me, right? And then I had to go get beat up a little more, and then I had to get a little more of the program on me. And then finally, you know, I got my last thing I got, and I ended up, you know, in the rooms, and, you know, I was ready. I thought, right? And then 5 years later, drinking, almost thought I was ready, then finally coming back, and hopefully this time I'm ready, right? I still got things to work on, but, you know, and that's the other thing. I love being sober, right? I was here for a long time just so scared to drink, just so scared if I was going to drink again. And sometimes when I'm so afraid, all I focus on is the fear, I forget to pay attention to all the humble stuff, the good stuff. And, you know, so at some point, you know, and I've said this before, at some point I had to start falling in love with being sober. I had to start falling in love with the freedom, right? The freedom of anxiety, the freedom of fear, the freedom of worry, the freedom of shame. You know, I lived with all that for so long. You know, when I was out in San Diego, I was really a drug addict, you know, using alcohol to, temper it, to fill in the gaps, right? But what I was a drug addict. And, you know, I shared this last night because the guy that shared a little bit, like he might have had a little issue with some of the things that I had an issue with back in those days. And I shared, and I'm still aware of this. And the fact is that, you know, when I moved to Delaware, that was not here. And I'm talking about meth. Meth did not play a role in this side. I know that there are people on meth. I know that it is around, but I do not hear about it that much here. You know, in San Diego, when I lived in San Diego, houses were blowing up. Everybody was freaking high on meth. You could just tell. It's not that way here. But I had to share last night, you know, if I had moved here and it was here, I don't know what my path would have looked like, right? You know, I like to feel like I'm doing good things. I don't drink, right? But man, that one was a tough one. And I'm so grateful that I had the chance to get away from it, right? And, you know, today I would never want to do that. My life is so good. I think, what would it be like if I just snorted a line of meth today? What would that look like? Right? Who would figure it out? I think everybody would probably figure it out because it's such a shift from being sober, right? It's such a, I don't even know what it would be. Oh my God, I would probably be freaking out. I think, you know, I think of what I put myself through back in those days on the drugs and the alcohol and the bad eating and not eating and just just how I treated my body and how I'd become used to it. You know, sort of become, I'd just become used to it, and it was terrible. And so today, you know, I don't know, I'm so in tune with how I feel, you know, how I eat, when I eat certain things, how I feel when I've eaten certain things, right? I'm starting to become very in tune with my body. And, yeah, I just don't know what that'd be like, and I don't want to know, right? I never want to find that out. We're getting some text messages here. So yeah, that's, you know, sponsorship is awesome. Don't be afraid. If someone's running a decent program, people are aware of it. They can figure it out. They become, they fall under the radar of people looking for sponsorship. But listen, anybody that's got a lot of time, more than likely wants to be a sponsor, and it doesn't have to be forever, but definitely check it out. Get into sponsorship. I'm super grateful. I called my sponsor this morning. He did not answer the phone, which is fine. I don't even know, you know, that's the tough thing for me is I don't, you know, I feel like making problems and telling my sponsor so that we have something to work on. I don't know. For me, it's really just ignoring the voice that told me, don't get a sponsor, right? Because that's really, today is what I work on, is fighting that voice that tells me you don't need a sponsor. You don't need to go to meetings, right? You don't need all this stuff. Let's see, daily reflect. Oh, man. All right, here we go. Let's read a daily reflections, and I got to go to work. I got a lot of shit going on today. All right, here we go. A riddle that works, August 24th. It may be possible to find explanations of spiritual experiences such as ours, but I have often tried to explain my own and have succeeded only in giving the story of it. I know the feeling it gave me and the results it has brought, but I realize I may never fully understand its deeper why and how. It may be possible to find explanations of spiritual experiences such as ours, but I have often tried to explain my own and have succeeded only in giving the story of it. Yeah. That was As Bill Sees. It's page 313. I had a profound spiritual experience during an AA open meeting, which led me to blurt out, I'm an alcoholic. I have not had a drink since that day. I can tell you the words I heard just prior to my admission and just how those words affected me. But as to why it happened, I do not know. I believe a power greater than myself chose me to recover, yet I do not know why. I try not to worry or wonder about what I do not yet know. Instead, I trust that if I continue to work the steps, practice the principles in my life, and share my story, I will be guided lovingly towards a deep and mature spirituality in which more will be revealed to me. For the time being, it is a gift for me to trust God, work the steps, and help others. Yeah, you know, spiritual, I mean, that is, it's personal, right? Spiritual experience is personal. But what I've learned, and this is just my experience, my thought, how I feel, it isn't, it's not, do you, right? Do your own thing. But what I've learned over time is really, for me, is spirituality, God, all love, all that stuff for me is shut down by fear. And what is fear for me? Living on self-will, right? Self-will to me is where fear creates. And to me, that is a devil living, right? That's just devil stuff. Remove fear. Use these steps. The steps for me are how I remove fear on a daily basis, right? And all the way down to the 10th step, right? What am I afraid of? That I just fucked up a relationship? Nope. I can say, you know what? Screwed up. I apologize. I get to clean this stuff up today. But it's all fear. Fear separates me from holding the hand of God. And my problem was is that I was looking for this spiritual experience, this magical moment. And really, it's me just living a life minus fear. And when you live a life minus fear, it's pretty spiritual. So that's for me. Anyway, I got to go to work. I hope everyone has a great day. Later.